Hello and welcome back to FinTech Stories, Taylor Wessing's podcast series, which explores the latest legal and regulatory developments, trends, and hot topics in the FinTech sector from across the globe. With 1,100 attorneys spread across 29 offices around the world, we at Taylor Wessing help the world's most innovative people and businesses to crack complex legal problems, enabling new ideas and inspirations to thrive. Within our FinTech practice that is comprised of attorneys qualified in a number of different jurisdictions, we advise new entrant fintech companies, as well as established banks and financial service providers that are looking to leverage the use of innovative technologies in the financial services sector. I am Miroslav Juric. I am attorney at law in our financial services regulatory practice based in our Frankfurt office. In our second episode of our 2024 FinTech Outlook series, we will take a closer look at some key regulatory developments in the EU that will be of importance for the FinTech industry in 2024. Today, I am pleased to be joined by Dr. Verena Ritter-Doring, who is partner in our Frankfurt office and heads our financial services regulatory practice. She has a number of years behind her in experience in advising incumbent financial institutions and fintech companies on a variety of topics in the financial services regulatory space at both EU and national level. Verena, welcome.
Hello.
Verena, 2024 will also be a very busy year on the regulatory front for the entire financial services industry. Back in September 2020, we all know that the EU Commission has published a number of legislative proposals as part of its digital finance and retail payments package that are aimed at pretty much reshaping the financial services regulatory landscape in the EU in the coming years. The primary goal of the Commission with this package was to make financial services regulations a bit more consumer-friendly and, so to say, safe in the digital environment. This year, we expect to witness to see a number of these proposals entering their final stage. I just wanted to go now together with you through some of the main legislative proposals that are about to be finalized this year. And I wanted to go together with you through some of these by starting with the ever more important topic of digital operational resilience in the financial services sector. As part of the package, the Commission published the so-called Digital Operational Resilience Act that is aimed at pretty much harmonizing the existing rules on operational resilience and management of ICT risks. Where do we stand with DORA this year as we move into the second quarter? And what are some key points that you would like to mention when it comes to DORA and the preparation of the financial services industry for this major piece of EU financial regulation?
Yeah, Miroslav, we are in the middle of the implementation period. DORA will start to apply mid of January next year, so it's not so much time left. At this point, we already have two batches of RTSs, so regulatory technical standards. The first batch is already gone through. We have final text now. We expect to get the RTSs, the rest finalized mid of this year, July. Probably we will see. And it's still going. So we think that most of the market has already started with DORA and the implementation, but it's still a long way to go. We very often get the question if from financial institutions and also from ICT service providers, if DORA is the same as the BIIT, KIIT, ZIIT, which we already know, which was a IT guidance from BaFin in recent years. And no, DORA is not the same, and it's much more detailed. So there is a lot of work to do there. And going from DORA to another digital aspect in the market that is currently discussed, Miroslav, now I have a question for you. We have seen the first harmonized framework on crypto assets in the EU, the MiCA regulation. This is already finalized, and it's go live. And we also have the go live dates etching even closer. What are the key points the industry needs to keep in mind when it comes to MiCA regulation in 2024?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Actually, MiCA is by far one of the most significant regulatory novelties in 2024 in the EU. As you mentioned, the go live dates are edging ever closer, and MiCA will start to apply basically in two phases. First, as of 30th of June this year, the new regime on the stable coins, on the so-called asset referenced and e-money tokens, is going to start to apply. So this part of MiCA is going live, so just in a couple of months' time. Whereas the rest of this regulation, in particular, the most important parts around the issuance and offering of crypto assets, as well as the new authorization framework for crypto asset service providers, is becoming operational as of 30th of December this year. So by the end of this year, crypto asset service providers such as crypto custodians, online trading platforms, and so on, they have time to prepare for MiCA. What is important to mention if we talk about the timelines here is that the EU lawmakers have left the option for member states to include the so-called grandfathering period for institutions that are already operating under their existing frameworks based on a national license. So for instance, in Germany, we have a national framework on crypto assets ever since the 2020-2021. The German lawmaker is opting in this case for a grandfathering period. So the institutions authorized under the German Banking Act, under the existing regulations, will have until the 30th of June 2026 to reapply for a new license under MiCA. So in the case of Germany in particular, the German lawmaker has opted to provide the existing institutions authorized under the German Banking Act, Kreditwesengesetz, KWG, with a grandfathering period until 30th of June 2026. So basically, they will be able to continue to operate under the national license until this date. And in the meantime, they will need to use this time frame to reapply for a MiCA license that will nonetheless be probably done based on a so-called fast track procedure that MiCA provides for. So even though it appears that we have quite a long way in front of us, as we all know, the implementation process is a rather complicated task for both incumbent providers as well as those that are entering the market. So we're going to see. We definitely also require some further clarification on the regulatory front.
Do we already have some RTS texts we can rely on at this point?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there are. So the European supervisory authorities have been mandated to prepare a number of regulatory technical standards, implementation technical standards, as well as guidelines under MiCA on a variety of topics. The first package was published in July last year, second in October, and the third one was published just 3 days ago on 25th of March. As part of these three packages, conscious of time, we cannot go into details now, but ESA's really provided some helpful clarifications around some very important questions, like, for instance, the treatment of financial instruments, the intersections between MiFID II framework, MiCA, and so on, as well as some further clarifications on the application of MiCA to non-fungible tokens, NFTs. On the other hand, RTS also provide clarity for operators of trading venues, crypto custodians, and so on, on specific technical and operational requirements they will need to comply with for the purposes of authorization. And so as we move forward and further into 2024, we hope that we're going to see finalization of these RTS. The commission has a task basically to adopt all of these by the end of this year. And also European Banking Authority needs to adopt RTS around that apply to the stablecoin regime by June this year. So all in all, it is a very tight schedule for European authorities. We're going to see whether they're going to manage to do everything on time, because these clarifications on their RTS are really, really necessary for entities that are aiming to start their operation based on the Maker framework.
Thank you, Miroslav, for this very interesting insight. Though this year will be quite busy, not only when it comes to sector-specific regulations such as MiCA and DORA, but also some more broader overarching pieces of EU regulation. In 2024, we also expect to witness the finalization of the new EU AML framework, comprised of the AML regulation, the AML directive, the AML regulation, and the new TFR. The AML regulation will largely replace national ALM laws like the German Geldwäschegesetz and will introduce harmonized rules on customer due diligence and management of AML risks that institutions will need to comply with. I think this is really overdue. Miroslav, can you tell us a bit more about this?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's long overdue and it's really necessary. And I can say that based on the feedback we get from the clients, especially entities operating in multiple EU member states, are really looking forward to see more harmonized rules around customer due diligence that are pretty fragmented now across the EU27. The AML package is moving forward through the EU legislative making puzzle, right? On 12th of February this year, the Council has published the final compromise text of the new AML regulation and the AML directive, the so-called sixth AML directive, that now need to be officially adopted by the Parliament and the Council, right? In addition to that, as you said, the transfer of funds regulation that specifically aims to introduce the so-called travel rule for transfers of crypto assets has already started to apply. And the fourth piece of this package, the AML regulation, which aims to establish the very first EU anti-money laundering authority, is also moving towards finalization. End of February, the seat for AMLA was chosen. We have been really looking forward to see that. The Frankfurt is going to be the host of this new AML authority that is expected to become operational sometime in 2026. And we are now moving towards the final stage. In addition to this, what I would really like to mention, if we talk about customer due diligence, right? Across the EU27, we have different interpretations of the existing AML rules and therefore different identification and verification methods are being permissible in respective jurisdictions of individual national competent authorities. What is important to mention here is that in addition to this package, the EU Commission has also proposed back in 2020 the so-called new amended eIDAS regulation that will introduce the so-called EU digital identity, so like a piece of a digital wallet based on which EU residents will be able to identify themselves for different purposes, right? On 29th of February this year, European Parliament adopted this amended version of eIDAS regulation, which in particular is very important for the AML part of the EU legislative making framework, given that under the AML regulation, obliged entities will be able to perform customer due diligence based on this EU digital identity wallet. What this means in practice is basically that if you have this app on your phone, you can basically identify yourselves vis-a-vis financial service providers that can also onboard you much faster and in a much more convenient and in a certain way, secure way. So yeah, as we all see, there is quite a bunch that we need to deal with. However, this is not the end. I would now maybe use a chance, maybe just for closing, to briefly reflect upon another two important pieces of EU legislation that are finding their way through the legislative making process. In mid of last year, the Commission published proposals for the third Payment Services Directive, as well as a regulation on financial data access, the so-called FIDA regulation, which is going to be the very first EU regulation creating the very first worldwide framework on open finance, enabling financial entities to exchange customers' data for a more convenient and more effective provision of financial services. If you're interested to find out a bit more about these proposals, feel free to check up on our dedicated article as well as our two webinars on this topic that you can find on our website. So, Verena, for the end of this episode, I would kindly ask you if you could just run us through PSD3 and FIDA regulation in terms of the process, where do we stand now, and what is the way ahead?
Yes, of course. So PSD3, PSR, and FIDA have been published as a first draft in summer last year. The ECOFIN Council has now adopted PSD3 and PSR on the 14th of February this year. This still needs to go through the trialogue. We will see how this progresses. So we all hope it will go into a final draft this summer. We also hope it will be before the election in June. We will see if the European Union does not manage to publish a final draft before this summer. It will probably be in autumn or even in Q4 this year. So the election will take its toll here. And we are also still waiting on the final draft of FIDA, which will be a very interesting next step from open banking to open finance.
So thank you very much, Verena. I would just then use a chance now just to wrap up this part. I believe that we all agree that there is quite a bunch we need to deal with in the coming period, and there is quite a lot on the plate of fintechs and incumbent financial institutions when it comes to the regulatory part of the EU Commission's agenda. This brings us to the end of our today's episode. And to all of you, thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, feel free to subscribe to our channel to stay up to date with our forthcoming episodes that will continue to explore the latest legal and regulatory developments, trends, and hot topics in the fintech sector from across the globe.